We're going to come to order now. If you'll please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have two items on the agenda tonight. The first one being the House of Worship at 130 Camp Hill Road. We're asking for community input or to have, if you have any concerns, that they should be addressed. So, if you are interested, come up, give your name and your address.
We need to first make a motion to open the public hearing.
I can tell them much. I make a motion to open the meeting.
Second.
Okay.
We second.
On favor?
Aye.
Can a presentation be done first? Because I live across the street from this proposal, so I'd like to see a presentation of what is being asked.
For the 130 Camp Hill?
Yes.
Yeah, we're planning on having that one first.
Okay.
So?
Aye.
Go ahead.
Todd.
Whatever your concerns are, if you have to make a presentation, fine. If you have questions.
What they're asking for is for the applicant to make a presentation first before they do the public comment.
We're okay with that.
You can put yours
up. I'm going to do it to the four people.
Okay.
I'm going to turn the boards to the public. Okay. My name is Todd Rosenblum. We also have Rachel Barice from Civil Tech Engineering. She's the civil engineer who designed the parking lot and the drainage and lighting and landscaping. I'll give you a brief presentation about the building. If you have any technical questions or landscape screening, lighting, that would be addressed in the piece. So, anybody familiar with the property? Right now, and this is Camp Hill Road. This is north.
Do you mind turning it so we can see what you're showing too?
I believe this is a public hearing, so I think I have to present it to the public.
We could open the plans here.
Because
the public can't see.
Right. Not
turn towards us. Turn if we could all see if there's a way.
It's
fine. We have the plans here. You're good.
Very good. I mean, I believe this project has definitely been in front of the planning board.
Yeah.
Not public.
No, this is the public.
So I'm trying to cater to the people. Anyways, this is the existing building right now, right here. And this is the proposed addition. Here's the actual blow-up of that, and again, what you have is this is the existing building, and what's happening is it's just being gutted, and it's one wide open room, so that's being called the multi-purpose room, and what's being added on is being called the main sanctuary, and there's a lobby, there's bathrooms, there's a small little library, there's an elevator. The building is one story, there's an elevator that takes you down to a social hall. Two sets of staircases, there's an entrance for men, there's an entrance for women, there's four rooms, and that's really the first floor. What's happening, again, as I said, in the lower level is a social hall. So again, the same elevator that I showed you comes down here, the same staircases. There's a warming kitchen, there's no cooking or catering of food on the premises, but pre-cooked food can be warmed up.
May I interrupt you?
Yes.
When you say lower level, are you speaking basic?
Yes. Yes, I said it's one story above ground, and then one story below grade. This staircase here is from the parking lot side. It's an exterior stair that it's an emergency exit, which I'll show you on the site plan as well. So that's located right here. So that would be an exterior stair. And I'm also going to show you some renderings. Again, this is the front of the building, so this is what you would see from Camp Hill Road. This is the main entrance right here. So this is the men's entrance. This back here is the existing building. Right now, the building has relatively a flat roof, or so it matches architecturally with the new addition, giving it a little bit of a higher roof. And this is the main sanctuary in the back. And actually, I think this rendering is very helpful. This is from the back. This is showing you the parking lot. The parking is in the back, most of it. This is the library here. This is all of this is the main sanctuary. This over here again is the existing structure. There's going to be a little proposed little playground over here for the children. And there's also this little building back here, which I can show you on the site plan. There's a small little building back here. And that is basically a ritual bath for men. Some men, before they pray on a daily basis, would go there before prayers. That's a small little building. It's 400 or 500 square feet. Looks like a shed, basically, and there's an immersion pool in there. I don't know, do you want to go through the site plans, or you want to wait for questions?
I'll do a quick run through, but most of it we'll address as we get questions. So as Todd said, we have a building, there is one driveway in, the parking is to the side in the rear of the building. We did look at having a second curb cut, we eliminated that, there is enough room for turnaround here.
And fire truck, there's fire truck access.
Yeah, for all of that. We have, here's where you talked about the ritual pool, the building, the addition. So we have one of the things we designed for is drainage to provide a zero net increase in runoff, and we're proposing underground detention with infiltration. So the drainage has been reviewed by the village engineer. We will continue to work with the village engineer, but his latest comments said it's generally acceptable. We have the sewer, public sewer will be used. There is going to be a small sewer main extension that will service the project. It will be a public sewer in the road though, so the only part that's private is from the road into the property. So this piece will be public. And public water will be used. The water service is shown. On the landscaping, we do acknowledge that there are trees that will be removed from the construction. We are providing a significant number of trees and landscaping around three sides of the property. The landscaping that's proposed is a mix of deciduous and evergreen, just to kind of balance it out. Some of the trees that are used, that are proposed, are pin oak, red maple, sugar maple, dogwood, arborvitaes, white pines, Norway spruce, tulip trees, red oak, and then there's also a number of shrubs that are scattered throughout as well. So we do have the screening on there. There's also where the retaining walls are in the front here, we have a number of shrubs through there as well to help make it more visually appealing, that it's not just a retaining wall that you would see the shrubbery, so that it looks pretty from the front. This corner, there's a number of trees that will remain. This section here is not to be disturbed. There's also some trees in this corner that are not being disturbed.
With regard to the retaining walls, the current plan is to use boulder type retaining walls, which are much more natural looking. Talked about using, the kind of the concrete, decorative concrete block, and I personally ruled that out, saying it's so rural here that the boulder walls would be much nicer.
So we did provide a lighting plan that was reviewed by the building engineer as well. So the lighting meets the village's requirements that limits the overspill beyond the property line. So this is something that was provided and reviewed by the village as well.
How tall is the lighting?
The light, the height vary, let me see if I can. I can get you that information. I'll have to research the specific fixtures. So for the lighting, we actually do work with a lighting consultant, that does the lighting plan, so I will get more information on that.
It's computer designed, so they, what they do is, you can see there's all these puddles.
So it's hard to see on here, but they have all these little numbers, and that's just what candles, so depending on, from the fixture, that they can see how far out the light goes.
I'm interested in the height, because.
Yeah,
it's a concern.
So it looks like these are 14 feet.
14 feet?
Yes.
Okay. That's a concern for me. Continue.
Excuse me, it's not a Q&A, they should come with their questions after you finish your presentation.
Okay, yeah, I'd be happy to do that, I just didn't know.
It's never, Mrs. Chairman, I don't think it was ever a Q&A. Should we let them finish their presentation if people have concerns? Because then you want it on record.
Because sometimes your concerns will be addressed during their discussion.
I said, can the board go in?
Yes, they gave an advice.
The planning board?
Yes.
That's who we're here to talk to.
Appreciate it.
Okay, continue, please.
I think that about covers my presentation, and then, depending on if you would like us to answer at the end, or if you want us to collect the questions and answer next time, you can advise us as you go.
Just out of curiosity, these lighting fixtures that are 14 feet tall that seem to be of the most concern, how many are there? I know there's a lot of lights scattered around that's very low in height.
If you look at the lighting plan, you can answer the question.
Looks like there's 7.
Okay.
It looks like a total of 10. But they are scattered, so the ones in the back are obviously less of an impact to properties across the street, depending on where they are. But I believe your village engineer did a review, included your village, your lighting, to make sure that it complies with the village's requirements.
Yeah,
there is requirements for that.
When the technical advisory committee, which was the engineer and myself and the attorney, at the first pass, we asked them to adjust some of the lighting so that it was only 1/10 of a foot candle at all property lines, and they did do that.
Can you speak into a microphone?
At the technical advisory committee, which is comprised of the planner, the engineer, and the attorney, when we did a pre-review of the application, we asked them to adjust the lighting at that time, and they have adjusted it so that there aren't standards based on height. The standards are based on how many foot candles of light could be spilling onto adjacent properties, and they adjusted their plan, and now their lighting engineer is showing that it'll be 1/10 of a foot candle or zero at the property lines, so that very little light is spilling over. And each light pole is listed as being 14 feet, and each light pole's location is shown. And then on the lighting plan, they show what's called a photometric light spread, which is a measurement of how the light spreads underneath each lamp. And then they show that at the property lines, with that much wattage and that much height, the light will only be 1/10 of a foot candle.
I think that covers our presentation for now.
All right, we're open for questions from the audience.
Well, what is the step up?
Coming up. Yes, give your name and address, please.
And if you could also speak into the microphone so that.
As I mentioned before, please fill out your name and address on the page to me.
Just for informational purposes, the way a public hearing works is that the members of the public are permitted to come before the board, give their name and address, and address any issues or questions that they have or bring to the attention of this board, any issues that they believe the board should take into consideration. It's not a question and answer period. If you have questions, you can state the questions, but we're not here to answer the questions. We'll take them down, we'll refer them to the applicant, we'll then give an answer either in a later submission, or if it's easy to answer, they may even use it tonight. But we don't answer questions from you, we receive information as the board.
And no decisions will be made tonight. This is an information meeting for the community.
Okay, then I'll try.
We would also ask that the comments be kept between 3 and 5 minutes. If you have anything in addition, you may make a written submission to this board after the meeting.
Okay, I think I understand. I'm Audrey Cruz, I live at 129 Camp Hill Road. So I'm directly across the street from this. Right now it's all trees, very lovely. Looking at the plan tonight, I haven't had a chance to come earlier to take a look. It's a massive building. The elevation is high. I have several concerns, not the least of which is the headlights of the cars. I think the board should take into consideration right now, as the cars come out of the shul, they sweep my front living room and the side of my family. Worse in the winter when there's no leaves, which some of these trees for screening will not address. When you have a parking lot that's now going to be facing onto my property, at the elevation that it's at, you're going to be hitting 3 of my bedrooms, the master bedroom and 2 other bedrooms. That's all in the front, in addition to the living room, in addition to the family room, in addition to the side of my property. It's a big quality of life issue for me. Trees are just screening. They're not going to give me privacy. They're not going to stop the headlights as they turn, as they come in. And the shul is open at night. It's open at 5 in the morning. I know because I live there. I listen to the car door slam. It's not addressing either how the congregants are going to, the noise. On Friday, I went up to my bedroom at 9:20, and there were a group of men right outside on, I don't know where they were because it was dark, which was lovely, arguing or having a discussion, but you could hear it from my bedroom. My bedroom will be eye level, or their property will be even higher because of the way the elevation is. That's a huge problem for me, huge. So lighting is a big concern to me. Trees are not enough. I want a 4.5-foot to 5-foot wall to prevent the lights of the cars and the SUVs. They're going to come down from what I'm seeing of this map. They're going to come down this way, facing my property, and the entire front of my property, sweeping across the property. Huge quality of life issue. I didn't pay for that. I am concerned about runoff because as it is, again, it's a downslope. The water comes streaming when it's very bad rain, comes streaming down from Camp Hill. Separate issue, but I feel it's going to be compounded now because now there's going to be a lot of flat top road coming down. They didn't speak about the driveway, but I'm assuming that the driveway is going to be made larger than what it currently is to house all this parking. A lot of problem. The shul is not 24/7, but they do pray at night. They do come out at night. It doesn't end sometimes until 11 or 10. You're asking for a huge expansion, huge, that will directly, again, from the elevation, be coming down onto my property, affecting my master bedroom, 2 other bedrooms, my entire front, the family room. I really can't stress how the plan is not, I'm not happy about it, but it doesn't, again, I'm repeating myself, trees will not address this. Trees will not address people talking at night. Trees will not address the car lights sweeping across the property into the backyard. There are other issues. As this gets larger, I've had to contend with worshipers who like to cut through property, destroying my trees to get to the shul and back and forth, including children running across that I've had to yell at a couple of times. This is not what I signed up for when I bought the property. This is not how I've been living. This is not how I want to live. I'm sure there's more. I'm a little nervous. I've never done this before, but you need to understand my concerns. You're talking like, for me, that's 3 stories. And the light coming down. So why can't they have lights that are like, I've seen it in restaurants, lights that are this low, have a large retaining wall, a wall, not trees, 4.5 feet, 5 feet, take care of the lights as they sweep around this way. And it's not a small issue because the prayers do happen at dusk and later, and they happen in the morning. I've been awake listening to car doors slam. That's going to be even more compounded when you add another, I don't know, 5,000 extra cars. Hyperbole, I know, but it's going to be an issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're across the street?
Yes, directly across.
Hi, I'm John McDowell. I live directly west with my wife, Alexandra, on the property. The property actually is interesting. It was part of our property.
What address? What number?
126 Campbell Road. Our property was a farm since 1780. This goes before Mona was formed. There was a house on this property. It's not anything to do with, you know, it doesn't really matter, but I think it's kind of interesting. We have made, I would say, friends with people who go to the current house of worship. We were very close with our neighbors across the street who worship there. We want to be good neighbors. We expect also others to be, we hope, to be good neighbors as well. I have met the owner, he's a very nice man, but there's been some issues. One, of course, has been brought up about the lights. There's one light, and that light has been shining in our bedroom. The man took a while. I think he had his best intentions. He's an electrician, but it took him a while to mitigate that. But still, the light is on. For a while, it was on 24/7. Then there was a timer, but there was a problem. I don't know whether there's supposed to be timers or not, but that, I'm talking about one light, and I can go out at night and I'm walking towards the property. I can't see the stars. I can't see the fence. That one little light is there. So you're talking about 14 foot lights on 14 feet. That also concerns me. There has also been trash that has come over to our property. And I've spoken to the owner about it. Apparently there's a huge amount of trash that was after a celebration, that's great, but a bear got into it and strewn it all over their property and our property. I asked that it be cleaned up, and unfortunately, as nice as the fellow was, it hasn't been done yet. So imagine what I'm thinking. Okay, let's build it bigger, more trash, you know. I'm not saying anybody or any type has trash, but this is my experience. The other thing is that I'm just curious about this. I don't mean to be adversarial, but we came in and got all the permits for a roof. And 2 hours after the men started working on the roof, we had all the permits. Somebody complained about that. And the code enforcer came out. And of course, we had the permits. It was fine. As far as I understand, this current house of worship has been operating without fulfilling the permits for this. Is that true?
They just came before us, so we don't know how long they've been.
It's been existing for 2 years, and I wouldn't really say that, but if that's allowed to happen, I just feel like it took an hour for someone to complain about my roof, and it's been there for 2 years, and it just doesn't seem balanced.
The village only learns about these things if someone calls and makes us aware.
I think if you look within the village and speak to people who understand the code and are looking at the code, they'll explain it to you.
No, but I'm just saying the village is not aware there's an issue or a problem unless they're made aware of it.
Can you speak into a microphone?
They are aware of it. As far as I understand, I've heard it from sources that there were some violations, and I'm not against anybody, but it's just it was unbelievable that after 2 hours of work I got, you know, and I don't know who called, but the code enforcer was right out there right away. I'm mostly saying this because if this was going to go through, and I believe everybody has their choice to worship, there's the Hindu temple, there's a Zoroastrian temple, there's a Christian temple or a church, that's fine. But it is a problem, as I'm going to say, the quality of life. People are very friendly, you know, but there's also, I feel like right now it's sort of like living next to a strip mall. No offense, but it's just the amount of traffic. People go in to pray. I've seen many, many times. They lock the car, beep, they go into the house of worship, they come out, zoom out, go right past our house. It's a really dangerous road. Today somebody left our property, someone was zooming up the hill, there's a blind spot, you can't see, and they were honking, and people are treating Campbell Road right now like 202, and I just imagine the traffic that is gonna happen. I'm all for people to worship. I'm very concerned about our quality of life, the noise, the buffer. I don't know, I mean, you can't build a 20-foot high wall, but 14 feet, that's gonna be, we're gonna see every light. And how long are the lights on for? I mean, right now this light finally goes off about, I think 11 o'clock or midnight, but you know, we see it all the time. That's one light, you know? So these are my concerns. We've been there a long time, and it's been in our family a long time, and change happens, and we understand that, but it has a real impact, and these are the things I'm concerned about.
Okay. I have to concur with the lights, because it comes onto my property too. It's blazing into the living room, and they did tone it down. Now, a separate thing, but I didn't complain, because I don't like to complain. There's a commercial-sized menorah that was put out for the holiday. That was neon bright, and it shone, again, my entire front and the backyard of someone on Chamberlain. That shouldn't be allowed. I don't put out a Christmas tree, you know, with menorah, with neon lights shining on anybody else's property. Consideration needs to happen from the shul. They need to be more considerate. This privacy thing with the lights, multiple cars. I mean, I deal with it day in and day out, unless there's no prayer. The car door slamming, he's correct about occasionally there are honking the horn, if they're honking the horn for deers or they're honking the horn for whatever, I don't know, I don't care. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 5, sometimes 6 o'clock, whenever prayer is, whenever they're done. Consideration. Trees are not going to muffle that. Really, privacy has to be a solid privacy wall put up like they do in a restaurant, something to mitigate the noise, the crowds, the garbage, the lights. You know, I understand your frustration. I'm directly across. And the children and the adults coming in through the backyard, coming in through the side, breaking trees. At dusk, this is a problem.
I understand. Are you directing him?
No, I'm talking to the man.
Is that a problem? Well, I understand how this works. I've been to other village meetings.
I heard they said earlier that it should be a person should come up, and I was wondering.
He was just saying that.
Okay,
He was just letting me. This is not the meeting. Shouldn't be run this way. He was just telling me to try to get it.
Okay.
That's all. And so I was letting her. I didn't want to stop her. And I let her go.
Again, I don't mean
that. Obviously, look, people are venting. They have concerns, and I'm glad that these people that have made the design choices and lighting and retaining walls, that you're taking this into consideration to what the neighbors' concerns are. Perhaps instead of trees that drop their leaves in the fall and winter, you make them all evergreens and make them a thick enough border of evergreens around the boundaries so that it does act as a preventive for whether noise or light. Also investigate other types of lighting instead of a 14-foot you know, things sticking up in the air.
Sorry, I know this procedure went on, but I just wanted to say one more thing before I So we have an Orthodox friend who's living close, but he's a member of the shul, and it's just interesting. He said, I would not want to live next to a house of worship. And, you know, this has nothing to do with religion. It's just, it's it could be any religion. So it's just that it's the impact, that's all. I hope everybody can pray what they want to pray, and, you know, maybe this ends up being passed, but these are very big concerns of ours.
It comes down to mutual respect on both sides.
Yes.
And the members of the temple and the rabbi and whoever is running it has to be cognizant that while they think they're talking very quietly or they're just closing their door and hitting their beeper, I know in Pomona you could hear things from a couple blocks away that in New York, you know, you couldn't hear it if it were 5 feet away.
Yeah, and just you remind me that I know it's not bad intention, but we have a farmer out there working, and we have people on the temple side that just stand there and look at us, and it just feels like I'm in a zoo or something. You know, like I don't think normally in a residential people come up to the neighbor's fence and just look. And it's nothing about culture, nothing about religion, but that you know, that's because it's a public space. It's that there's a difference between having a house next door and a public space. So I'll end that.
Okay.
Took my time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hello, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. My name is Paul Gazzone. I live at 27 Layton Town Road. I am not next to the House of Worship, but I do want to echo what John said earlier, which is has to do with the idea of us being neighbors. And I think you kind of nailed it with your last statement. The idea that the community of the shul, I just think, needs to be made aware of the impact they're having on the people around them. I do want to say thank you for the consideration that you guys had in creating the space and designing it. I actually like the way it looks, and I think it is large. There's nothing you can do about that if you're trying to accommodate a community. But I think it looks good, and they've already started talking about the idea of bringing in trees and putting up some sort of noise proofing or sort of a visual barrier. The lighting is an issue. All of us in Pomona who've lived here for a long time noticed when some of the newer houses, for example, on Layton Town Road right here, were developed, some of the homeowners popped in these extraordinarily large and bright lights for no apparent reason. They're on 24/7, well, they're on overnight when nobody's even driving. I don't know what the need for that is, but I understand somebody from the village actually already talked to them about it, and they toned it down. So I do have a couple of questions, though, that if somebody can answer this at some point in time. We're talking about lighting. Is there some other type of lighting that can be not elevated, but something foot level? I mean, if you need to have a pathway lit, you could do that. You could have lighting that's on, that's less wattage, perhaps not halogen or something bright like that, but something more incandescent that is at a slightly lower level. And do they have to be on all night? The question. I'm not sure why that's the case, but if it's possible to put them on timers, that would go a long way, I think, to help people. I'm just curious to know about the development. You talk about putting in new sewers, and obviously some work is going to be public. Is that being paid for by the village, by Ramapo, by the owners of the property? Just a question. Can answer it at some other time.
So that's being paid for by the center town.
Okay, great. Just curious.
That was an easy one. We can answer that one.
Okay, great, great. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Daniel Berger. I live on 21 Ormian Drive, which is on the other side of the property. Three concerns I wanted to share with you. My first concern is, based on the pictures, they're pretty clearly onto my property. So I would hope that somebody, I don't know who, would make sure that property does not go onto the neighboring, building does not go onto neighboring properties. Currently, the ritual bath, as you call it, is already at the property line, so I don't know how they're gonna build any more.
I can just state that we get drawings that are stamped by licensed surveyor and a licensed engineer, and it does show that the mikveh building is 25 feet from the property line.
Here's a, just want to point out, there is a stone wall divider that's much closer than that, so I don't know what the 25-foot you're referring to is.
It's where the surveyor measured with instruments the property line is.
Second issue is, I was specifically told there would not be a multi-purpose room, and now I heard for the first time that there would be. So is this something that would be rented out? Would it be like something that, you know, neighbors would have to contend with in terms of noise and whatnot on random nights? I don't know.
You'd have to, you know, ask members of the temple, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, are they allowed to just open up an event space?
Well, it isn't as if they open it up and say, come one and come all. This is, I would imagine.
Can I address that?
Yes.
Okay, so when multi-purpose means just that, multi-purpose. It means on the Jewish high holidays, when more people might attend, there could be overflow seating. There's actually a folding wall between the multi-purpose room and the main sanctuary. It also, on a typical Sabbath, could be used for the children's playgroup. It is the intent of it, and I think you're taking it the wrong way, not to be rented out. It's multi-purpose for the members of the congregation for different needs. That's what it's there for.
I just want to make sure that it's not turning into an event space of some sort. But
I can't tell you that no commercial kitchen, any type of commercial equipment, kitchen equipment is allowed there.
Understood.
They already have notes on the plan that the kiddush room will not be used concurrently, or they call it the accessory social hall on the basement level, shall not be used concurrently when services are being held in the sanctuary. And the rules for a neighborhood level place of worship are you cannot have a commercial type kitchen, only a warming kitchen.
Just warming the food.
Okay, thank you. Third concern is about 3 years ago, there was a dumpster on the property, and there was a huge uptick in the amount of bears that I myself saw. I was even confronted by one. It was, I can't prove it, but it was correlated with the dumpster. The dumpster was then removed, and I haven't seen bears. I know they're around, but I haven't been confronted or seen them. I mean, this size of a situation would require dumpsters, I would assume. So you're dealing with garbage trucks, right, coming and more noise. And I don't know. Is there any talk about how to deal with waste?
Yes, there's a dumpster enclosure. Designs at the back of the building.
Does that get picked up by the garbage?
Yes, there'll be a private company that comes and picks it up.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Mary Ellen Pollins. Thanks for hearing me. I live at 27 Leyden Town Road. I'm not a neighbor of this property. I'm right up down Leyden Town Road, but I also have a concern about lighting that was spoken of by several other people. My one question, well, not a question, but a comment with regard to the village and the village standards, I think that the presentation was a little vague with regard to certain issues, lighting in particular. They didn't know, they did find out that the lighting, you know, was going to be 14 feet high, but it was a little unclear as to what kind of effect it was going to have on the neighbors. And they basically said that it adhered to village standards. I don't know what those standards are, and I don't know if you know what those standards are. I don't know how, if we have standards, where they are, you know, shown to the public, and whether they're being applied universally to people in the village and to other venues like this that are being considered. Because it seems that there's a lot of assumptions, and I would assume, and we all have to be good neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. That's all great, but, you know, once you put in lighting, the lighting is there. And as these people said, they're going to be living with it shining into their properties night, night after night. As my husband said, who also lives at 27 Leyden Town, we're blinded by the lights that suddenly appeared in front of houses on Leyden Town Road that could literally cause an accident. I thought a light, you know, cars were coming at me one night when I first saw them. So this idea of village standards to me is a little murky, and I would like the planning board and the village board to let the citizens know exactly what they are and to show us that they're being applied you know, in a consistent way across everybody in the community. Also, I'd like to point out that, you know, as one gentleman is living on the backside of this property, John McDowell pointed out that one of his Orthodox neighbors said himself that he would not want to be living next to this property. if I were living next to this property, I would be apoplectic right now because I don't want to have a 10-car parking lot. They didn't mention how many cars this parking lot accommodates, but it looks like a lot of asphalt to me. And the big problem with all of these, you know, houses of worship and any other types of buildings that are being built is that once they're built, they are there. Once grass is, you know, asphalted, that's asphalted forever. It's not going to go away. It's not going to be torn up and turned back into forest land. Many of us moved here long ago and more recently because of the bucolic nature of this community. And we'd like to keep it that way. And the more properties like this that are built in the community, the less bucolic this becomes. And there will be no turning back at some point. We will all be looking like, you know, the mall where Evergreen now is. We already have a huge amount of light pollution from that mall coming all the way back to here. If you stand in the middle of Leyden Town Road and you can see beyond the lights that are on Leyden Town, you're going to see the lights from, you know, Evergreen and everything at that little mall. So I'm just talking about this, you know, this particular property, which is really large in what is now a forested and residential area, now suddenly turning into something else. And that's a huge concern, not just for the people that live next to it, but for all of us, because suddenly this whole community is turning into something that it is not now and something that a lot of people do not want it to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Briefly, Justin. Yes, okay, briefly, Justin. Mm-hmm. I would like to point out that, you know, the village of Pomona recently changed their zoning laws to allow for these neighborhood gatherings. So, I mean, generally, if you're just opposed to that, I guess you could have been part of that process just to say I'm opposed to these types of gatherings. But I would like to point out that this building meets all the zoning requirements. It's the appropriate size. It meets all the setbacks and all the coverages. There's zero net runoff, so it's not going to have an impact on drainage. We're proposing a lot of significant screening, and if you would prefer, if the neighbors seem to prefer more pine trees around the property so that they don't lose their leaves, we're totally open to that. We're open to re-examining the lighting. We must have, for safety reasons, a certain amount of lighting. This plan has been designed by a lighting engineer, and the village engineer has concurred that the lighting is not leaving the property more than the village standards. And I guess you know, Mr. Lockwood maybe can answer that question specifically, what those standards are, or I'm sure they are written down and they can be provided to the public. We will examine if the same level of lighting which is required just for safety can be achieved by some other way. We're certainly going to look into that. It's a concern, I understand, and we'll look into it, and we're looking into the screening as well.
Just regarding the zoning. Number one, we have our LUPA, that's the federal law.
Religious Land Use Act, and the village went...
Number two, when we went with zoning, we had up to 49 people could worship in someone's home. It really didn't have any impact on most people, because the Orthodox walk to temple. Then we had the traditional house of worship. When you think in terms of a big temple or a big church, it has to be on at least 3 acres of land. What we did, and we went along with the court findings of other villages, was for that in-between area where it was more than 49 people maximum to worship in someone's home, or a 3-acre, quote, traditional house of worship. So far, every house of worship that we have okayed on the planning board have all been residential in appearance. And in every way, we've tried to maintain that appearance that these houses of worship, for all intents and purposes, blend in with the residential neighborhoods that they are in. Does that answer questions about, quote, the changes in Pomona's zoning? It wasn't really a change, it was sort of fine-tuning. Yes.
I read all of that, and you're right, but I want to, just for Todd, I don't think anybody here who spoke was against these places, as you say, these places of gathering. We were not. We were very clear, those of us who spoke up, that we want everybody to feel comfortable here. And it goes back to what you said earlier, it's simply a matter of respect from both sides, honestly, right? I respect you, you respect me, and we do the best we can as neighbors. Having said that, what is the capacity of this place? How many people can we expect to be there? I'm curious. And what kind of number, what's the parking lot situation? How many cars is it holding?
38 parking spaces are proposed on the plan.
Thank you.
Okay, so the main sanctuary on the men's side has 114 seats, and on the women's side it has 66 seats. So that is the capacity of the main sanctuary.
Got it.
And as you heard earlier, there's notes on the site plan that indicate that it's the same, let's say 180 people that are in the main sanctuary that are gonna be, after prayers conclude, going down to use the social hall. Social hall is not used concurrently by a different group of people. So even though there's a lot of space down in the social hall, it's for these same congregants to use after the fact, or if there was a bris or something like that, then after the service they would go down and use that. So, and again, the multi-purpose room is really the children may go out there and play, or again, there may be a few times Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur where the seating is not sufficient, so that's what the multi-purpose room will be used for. And no, I hear you, what you're saying. I'm not a member of the congregation. I live in Wednesday Hills. My office happens to be in Pomona, and I certainly will talk. There are members of the congregation here tonight, but I'll certainly convey. Ms. Maurice is taking copious notes on all of your concerns, and we're going to convey that. And you're right, the things about slamming doors and noise and people talking, they may not have realized that they're bothering you, and it's legitimate, and I'll pass that along. Not an architectural issue or a site issue, but I'm going to pass that along. What we can do, and we've heard you, is we're going to see if there's another way to have safe lighting. We'll see. I don't know. We're certainly going to ask the engineer if there's a way to have it lower. And the screening, we certainly can change the types of trees.
Trees, from my perspective, the trees will not help because their SUVs are high. Trees can lose branches. Trees can go sour. They can go bad. I'm asking for a privacy wall. Whether that wall is stone, fence, wood, I don't care. But I cannot have SUV lights, multiple SUV lights coming down the lane from what I'm seeing, hitting my entire front of my house. Right. That's my quality of life. This house is gonna be at my second story to a third story. You're directly impacting me. And I don't mean you, I mean this this plan, directly hitting me. As
well,
it is, the lights already hit me.
Where the driveway comes down is much lower. The property is elevated.
And the driveway is elevated too.
I don't think it's reasonable to build a privacy wall. I know of no other congregation in Rockland County that's built a privacy wall around this entire structure. But we're, like I said, we've heard your concerns.
That's probably so, because I've driven around. Most things are level. This is not level. This property is not level to my property. This property is about, when you're done, about 20 feet above my property. You're hitting my second floor.
I hear you. That's why the planning board...
So this is different from other...
Yeah, we really can't have a back and forth argument about...
This is just to address concerns.
Yeah, the record, it clearly shows all of your comments. And we have a recording, and we have your concerns down now, probably 3 or 4 times on the tape about this issue. So I think we're good.
Let's continue with the public hearing. Does anyone else want to...
Anyone else want to speak?
My name is Shimon Foam. I'm at 125 Camp Hill. I'm right down the road, about a minute walk. I just simply feel for myself and my family and the community at large, it would be an asset to everything. And I hope the concerns of some of the neighbors will be addressed and everyone will be happy. Thank you.
Anyone else?
My name is Jacques Blaine, 141 Camp Hill, down the road. I actually attend services in the synagogue. And it's really nice to have a house of worship within walking distance. Personally, I get along with all the neighbors that when we see them. And I'm sure that the concerns the neighbors have, especially about noise, people talking at night, who probably don't realize that will definitely get addressed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Diane Dominic. I lived here for over 40 years. I live on 120 Camp Hill Road. My big concern here is the traffic on this road. This is a narrow lane road. There's no room for error on this road. And the walking of the people who now walk down the road is a hazard every day. And people don't walk single file, they walk 3 or 4 people with carriages and children. I don't care where they worship, that's not my problem. I mean, I'm happy to have somebody worship wherever they want to, I worship where I want to. But the traffic now is gonna be 10 times worse when this is built, because it's gonna be, it's hard enough for me to get out of my driveway now on a Saturday. But now, if you add all those people who are gonna be coming in with cars going back and forth on this road, people walk their dogs, people jog on this road, it's a nightmare, it's a disaster waiting to happen. I'm afraid that something really bad's gonna happen to somebody on that road, walking on the road, or when somebody's trying to go by and they're trying to get in and out of that driveway. I think it's gonna be a big concern that should be looked at.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else that wants to speak? Okay, I think...
A motion to close the public hearing?
I don't know if we should close it. I think we need to...
Continue it.
Adjourn it until the next meeting.
All right.
It would be a motion to continue the public hearing to the next meeting.
Right. I make a motion to continue this discussion at the next planning board meeting.
The date.
Which is?
I think July 15th.
I can't look on my phone because it's making a recording.
Tammy, do you know when the next planning board meeting is?
I don't have it with me right now.
Mr. Lester,
check.
Maybe the
19th.
There's a meeting on the 26th also. That's a village board.
That's a different board.
Okay. I have it for the 20th.
No, not
July 20th.
July 20th.
I guess.
Maybe. All right. I make a motion to continue the public hearing to the next meeting, which is July 20th.
Second.
7:30.
At 7:30 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
We can wait 30 minutes for this. I'm going to expect the minutes because I'd like to look over what this to discuss. And respond to the problem.
And when do the minutes, when are the minutes published?
And I expect the minutes for this.
No, you got it.
Meeting?
The next week?
Next meeting?
Oh, at the next meeting as well?
At the meeting, you look at it.
That's when it gets approved.
What about you look at it?
No, I don't know. I don't know when it's published, so it needs in the administration.
We don't publish.
Yeah, no, it's available, it's public. I don't see.
We usually get it at the next meeting, if we're again.
That's when we get them?
Yeah.
We usually get them at the next meeting. I don't know when it's available to the public.
The recording will be available online by within the end of the week.
Okay.
Okay.
On the village, you should be able to, can you hear me?
Who's this guy? He's doing all kinds of talk.
He's a trustee.
Mr. It's Mr. Mendy Lasker, he's on the Board of Trustees.
Why is he over here, not with you?
He doesn't sit.
He's not on the planning board, ma'am.
So just so everyone understands, this is Mendy Lasker. Mendy Lasker is, he's a trustee.
There's no respect.
Okay, he's a trustee of the village, and he's part of the administration, so when we have questions, we.
They don't want to hear.
I guess not. Okay, I think we go move on to the next agenda.
Well, could I, maybe I could make a report before you go on to the next agenda. Now that the public hearing's over, typically, we just, planner and engineer, we enter our reports into the record. You have a memorandum dated June 5th from myself as village planner, and we went over the plans. Pretty much everything that is discussed tonight was commented on in our memorandum. I would recommend, the engineer has already left, but I think I'll talk with them about this lighting issue. The standard for the community is 1.1 foot candles at the property line, and they do have an engineering report that shows they've met that standard. But there are different types of lighting, and there's an organization called the Dark Sky Association that has standards for shielded fixtures that the glare isn't allowed to shine up into the sky. And the Dark Sky Association is a private nonprofit organization that's concerned about light pollution at night. And they have recommended standards for outdoor lighting. And I can recommend to the engineer that they look at those and get shielded fixtures. That would be better. One of the paradoxes is that the village does not have light controls on individual persons at their own home. We do have standards for site plan review. So if somebody comes to the planning board for site plan review, we get to go over their fixtures and make sure they don't have light spill over and give them a hard look. But if you at your own private home want to put up a big light in your yard, there's really no village standard on that other than a general nuisance level. There's no measurement and that type of thing. And I have worked with other communities because these LED lighting on houses is getting very popular. Some of our client communities that we help have enacted, like in Montebello, they've enacted rules that apply to individual homeowners as well as site plan reviewed projects and made the individual homeowners also responsible for light spillover. And it does take some staff work to enforce that, but it is possible. But right now, I think the reason why you're hearing testimony that individual homes have put up bright lights and no one's done anything about it is because it isn't against the rules.
Right, it's their personal property.
Yeah, and we don't have those type of light rules unless it's a planning board reviewed site plan review project. So anyway, that's my report. And I know you could just tell them about the memorandum that Martin wrote.
Yeah, we had our review sent back on June 14th. We had generally, I guess the engineer is gone already, but we have a whole set of questions for them. In the past, they already answered most of our questions, so this review is sent to them, and I'm sure they're going to come back for the next meeting. I don't think they had any objections. We've been in contact with them, so that's all.
Okay. Now going on to the second item on tonight's agenda, which is a project from Veolia Water New York. I'll be honest, because I looked at that property and I thought, oh, it should be no problem. I mean, do they really think they're living in the middle of nowhere?
No, no, it's an old story. We'll go to 7 planning board meetings a month. So I hear it.
This was crazy.
We'll get started in a moment. You might want to start with a presentation from them, and then maybe my report, then
I have a
the
big
engineer's
question.
Report, and then open it up.
Because they keep saying it's 83 Haley. It's not at 83 Haley. It's on East.
We can get him.
Court.
We can get him to change the address. So.
With me as well is Gary Stewart, CDM Smith, who's a project engineer, and Steve Garibed, who's a representative of Veolia. They'll be able to answer any technical questions you may have or any other questions about this project that I won't be able to answer.
Here's the driveway. Right there.
I'll be brief. I believe this project has been before the board. The board is familiar with it. And basically what's happening here is Veolia is seeking to construct a 2 million gallon tank adjacent to its already existing 5 million gallon tank, which is located at 83 Halley Drive. As part of the project, we will also construct a small chemical metering building on this approximately 4.9 acre site. The new tank, once constructed, will allow Veolia to temporarily take the existing tank offline for much needed maintenance and not interrupt the delivery of water services it provides to its customers. The new chemical metering building will facilitate the addition of required water treatment chemicals. This project will provide a benefit to the community vis-a-vis the continued provision of clean and reliable drinking water. We are before you tonight wanting to present this project to you, as well as to request that there's a declaration for a lead agency under CEPA and to classify this as an unlisted action, and also to have the building inspector provide a written determination as to whether area variances are required. We are in receipt of the recent memos that have been provided. There's nothing that we don't think we can't address that's been requested of them. So we would like to have any questions answered and move this project along. And if there's any questions the board has, we're ready to proceed.
I have a question. You keep referring to it as 83 Haley Drive. I went to 83 Haley Drive today. 83 Haley Drive, on that side, it's all woods with an extremely steep side of the mountain going down. There is no
multi-million gallon tank on that property. No land has been cleared from there. The only place I know that there is a large tank is the United Water property that's on East Court. And that already is, you know, fenced in, and it's you can't go there. I mean, it's all locked up. And that would be the only place.
I want to show you a live map from this month.
Who are you?
I'm the deputy mayor in the village, so I'm just coming to show you. This is the, you went to 83, you were standing here.
Right.
You couldn't see it from the road. There's a path that goes down, and that goes all the way down to where they have the current 5 million gallon. They want to construct a 2 million gallon.
No, I get that.
It's a flag lot.
I'm aware of that. But when you, because I went up and down Haley, I went up and down.
You can see it.
Call just, Hollow.
Here, you can see.
There were no cleared areas that had any tanks on Haley or off Haley.
They have a way, they also have a driveway somehow where they get on for work being done, correct?
Yeah, so I'm Gary Stewart, so yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah, this is an aerial of, This is the big tank. It's former United Water. They were in Bensula.
This is the current tank. That's
yeah, right. Right. Out of Hilliard.
No, I realize it's the current tank.
Yeah, so this is Halley Drive, and it is a flag lot. The access road is off of Halley Drive. I think the official address is 83 Halley Drive, and then this is Call Hollow down here. So there is a tank there. It's just hidden probably from when you drive.
The only building I saw was a small little thing at the curbside that was maybe 5 foot by 4 foot.
Yeah.
I'll go look on the set.
No, she went here. You went here. This is the 5x4. Yeah. You went too far down.
I went all along where, because the last house on the left was 81 Haley. And then you had all woods.
This is 81.
So,
and the small house that you saw, probably the little small tiny
the little building,
little tiny building, it's right all the way down.
Right. I'm saying there was nothing.
Yeah, because these lots, they're coming soon in front of your board. There's somebody building those. Wetzer, he came in front of you guys. He's planning on building on those lots eventually. But this is, it's much closer. It's the first one. It's really past Northridge. If you would have picked. Because it goes
I use Northridge as a benchmark.
If you walk, you won't. If you don't look back, you won't see it. Basically, it's hidden. There's trees all around there, so it's not visualizing on the. If you go here,
I'm one of those annoying bikers. You'll sometimes see
Donna, but if you go,
I see it though when I bike.
If you go down Valley View,
it's like hidden.
If you go down Valley View, there's a road that goes down all the way to these houses. There you could see the entire structure from Valley View.
You can see it from Haley. If you look very closely, all I saw was
woods and an extremely steep slope.
Correct. Well, I can assure you, Donna, that we've studied the application and we did find some issues with it.
Hey, to have a tank that's invisible,
but the depiction of where it is, the survey, the tax maps, everything in that. They've perfectly addressed it. They've perfectly shown where it is.
Okay.
They've got the survey's right.
But
the tank is there.
But if you want a tour, we can arrange with Viola. They'll open it up and show.
No, that's quite all right.
So I mean, they could continue with their presentation, and I'll go over my comments. But none of my comments, I didn't find any problems with how they located the property. On their
I have no problem with all their plans and how they address
Jonathan, Donna is our only planning board member that actually goes out to the site and wants to see it, and we respect
every
that.
Like
that's
site.
Great. That's great.
So that's
but I think you did. I think Mandy's right. You went past it.
We should give it to her.
I have a few questions, just technical and not actually. They're based on what our process is for the board. So you're looking for site plan approval. Do we need a public hearing for that, or?
Yes, we do.
Okay, that's one. Two, as far as who's going to be lead agency for SECRA, I believe that's us. Different than it could be.
They're coming to us.
Could be the town board.
Yes,
it could be one or the other. I'm just.
I mean, the village. The village.
Okay, I guess we'll.
In my memorandum, I go over that, but the lead agency could be either the village board or the planning board, because it requires a a special permit. And typically, the practice of the village has been when the village board is doing a special permit, they do the lead agency. But we haven't gotten to that yet. In the case of the synagogue, the last case, they sent a letter to the planning board notifying you that they would like to be lead agency, and you accepted that. And that's the same thing that will happen in this case. Village board will, I can only assume that the village board would want to assume lead agency, yeah. And they'll notify you and ask you if you have any objections, just because that's what happens on these cases where they do a special use permit and you do the site plan review.
Now, according to your plans, the new tank would be installed southwest, I'm assuming it's the lower left-hand corner of the established tank. Okay.
Yeah. Here's this big circle is the existing tank, and right. This little circle
Would be the new one.
Yeah.
My only question I had, I'm sorry if I'm cutting you off at the pass, is why is the new tank, which is smaller, going to be like 21 or 22 feet higher in height than the established tank?
I can explain that. Yeah. So there's three main types of storage tanks. There's concrete, there's welded steel, and then painted, which is what the current tank is. And then there's a kind of a newer tank that's glass lined. There's a metal glass line that's bolted together on site. Veolia plans to bid all three tank types, and you know they're going to do a life cycle cost analysis once they get a bid, and you know, most cost effective tank over the life would be selected. Long story short, the glass fused boulder tank has like a dome, which is you know it's a total of 53 feet off the ground. The side wall is about 32 feet. The other two tanks will have a very similar, you know, 7 or 9 foot roof like this one here. The existing tank, the sidewall is 32 feet, and the very top of the roof is like 39 feet off the ground. So that's why we're going for the worst case.
Oh, okay.
Is that glass?
That would be the mat. That would be the maximum.
Correct. And the other two would be, you know.
Well, considering I couldn't even see.
Yeah.
the there one there.
Screen, not an issue.
Yeah. The right. And. In our analysis memorandum, they're proposing a tank 53 feet high, R40 maximum allowable height is 35. If they go with the 53-foot tank, they're going to need a variance from the ZBA. However, it's not my job to say they need a variance. It's Lou Zummo's job. The building inspector has to make that opinion. And these guys need to... get a written or ask Mr. Zummo, the building inspector, for a written determination and a referral to the ZBA if you indeed are going to go over the 35 feet.
Yeah, well, that they won't know until they get the
bids.
No, they're
definitely going to go over 35. Yeah, okay. The existing tank is already over 35. Right. So,
and I don't see that as a particular showstopper or any kind of problem. It's just you're going to need special permit, variance, site plan approval.
I think you need variance for coverage as well.
Yes, there was 22%, 22% lot coverage.
We haven't applied to the ZBA yet. Because we need a written determination.
How big is the lot?
The lot is
4.7 acres. We took off the need of deduction of steep slopes.
Yeah,
they're still at 22%. They're over 20.
After no deductions from the TC.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
so they need a variance, lot variance. Right.
Just 2%. But
Fumo determined that.
No, it's 7%, but it's because it's not a separate structure, but it's still 2%, like you said, at the end. Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting you.
It's perfectly fine. But to get to the ZBA, obviously, we need to be referred. In order to be referred, we need the building inspector to determine whether, you know, and how much the variances are required.
So Jonathan, you send the letter to the building inspector, no?
Whoever, I'd be happy to do that. If the board wants me to send a letter, I'll send it, or Steve can send it.
Well, let me just
stop right there, because I think we have to lose Zumo weigh in on this, on the building inspector. Plus, what I heard is that we don't know what the height is going to be of one of the three tanks that are being bid out. It's only when you determine what the height is going to be, what tank you choose, you'll determine the height. That's going to be part of the SECRE review of the lead agency. So
the village board.
The 53 is the worst case.
Yeah. Right. But we're going to...
I think you got to...
We can't react until we have something definite that you've determined which style tank you're going with.
Okay, because I mean that...
I think you need to apply for the 53-foot tank and get your variance and get your special permit. And then if you end up with a lower one, come back for an amendment.
Right, and that's I guess that's what we're...
You can't just sort of say maybe it'll be this high, maybe be that high.
Well, that's why we put 53.
Yeah.
4 inches in
the... Right, so you're...
But I'm also saying too that in addition to the height, I'm not sure if it's visually going to... It'll change depending on which of the three models you get and you decide on, but that might influence the SECRE review as well as far as the amount of visibility of the tank. So just something to consider.
And if you can model that this tank, because it's below the other one and west of it and more down the hill, and that it's going to be equally hard to find and Donna won't be able to find it either, that will be justification for helping you get the variance. So
I mean, we could look into maybe doing a mock-up of the three various tanks and what it may look like, but I think maybe we'll get there when if that's going to be an issue.
Yes, I think the board that is performing the SECRE is going to have to look at that, whether it's this board or whether it's the board of trustees.
So I think for now, and the professionals correct me if I'm wrong, I think that you need to get in front of the ZBA before we proceed, get a variance. Once you have that variance, come back to us, and then we can discuss site plan. I think that is how this should work. Is that right?
Well, that could work that way. I'd like Lou Zumos, the building inspector, to weigh in on it. Once it gets to the Zoning Board of Appeals, they can start the review and make a dual track. So the Planning Board can review it, as well as the Board of Trustees and the Zoning Board. But the Zoning Board cannot act until SECRE is completed by the lead agency.
Yeah, we until we have a negative declaration.
You said before, if we need to do the neg deck, we need to include in that neg deck the exact impact of the neighborhood, and so it's going to need to have that. We can vote on a neg deck if we don't have a final product. If I'm not mistaken, is that what
you have to have a sufficiently...
You're correct. Otherwise, you need to come in for a change, and that means you're voting again for all the process that you're going through. So it's just twice the amount of time. I'm just throwing it in the air.
Yeah.
I'm on the village board, so you guys came to us 2 years ago. I remember 2.5 years ago. We did a presentation. Yeah. I remember that presentation. We discussed about the glass type being the most attractive one that people liked, and Viola said that at the time it was Suez, I think. And Suez said they're going to look into it. But I understand you guys want to build in 2024, 2025. I wasn't sure when that date is.
Yeah, we're hoping to start in
2024. The spring 2024. Okay, so it's going to start moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we need...
I feel like there's still not clarity.
All right, so...
we still don't know what the tank...
That's what we're trying here.
Right, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
right.
So let me try to help the planning board attorney definitely jump in if I'm overstepping. But I think the first thing we need to do is obviously have a lead agency declared. Then at the same time, have a building inspector refer us to the ZBA. And I think a dual track would make sense. Obviously, you know, the ZBA can reserve its decision or can condition its decision on the issuance of a negative declaration. But
no, I don't think they condition it. They have to wait for the neg deck before they can issue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That I agree. But that's, I'm just sort of trying to organize this a little easier, because it seems like it's kind of scattered. And
isn't there the issue that you don't know exactly what type of tank
you're using, and we can we start the secret process if you don't?
Well, I think if you start the secret process based on the highest possible tank.
Is that right? And if it's lower?
And if it's lower, then we can get an amendment, at least on the height variance. But
you need to start, if the village board is going to be the lead agency for the special permit, you need to get in front of the village board with the special permit application and ask them to declare lead agency. They'll send a notice to the planning board asking the planning board to defer to them, but let them be the lead agency. And that will start the seeker process. You've come to us, we've started the site plan review process. You go to Mr. Zummo, the building inspector, and get a written determination, then you can start the ZBA process. Did I say that right, Steve?
I think that's makes
sense.
And do you have any questions about, we had just noticed some, a couple of irregularities in the plan set. Did you have any questions on that? I don't really need to go over those.
Once we get,
And just call me if you don't understand anything that I meant, but it's pretty simple, simple observations on your plans.
So, to finish writing his notes.
No, take your time.
No.
We're just clear on a plan of action, course of action?
As I understand it, we need to go to the village board for a special permit application, where that part of the application process will, you know, ask for a seeker review. The village board will declare itself as a lead agency, and that process will happen. Then the building inspector will issue a determination whether or not a variance is required. We're presuming that a variance will be required, and we'll go through that process with the ZBA, and hopefully by the time we get through the ZBA, a negative declaration will be issued, and the ZBA can issue its determination, and we'll come back here for final site.
We're like the lit end.
Yep, that's it. Before we move on, Mandy, we believe that the village board of trustees will be inclined to act as a lead agency.
Yes, you guys can vote tonight if you want to allow us to be lead agency, because they're requesting.
Why not?
Okay.
You can vote. You can give them that. The one thing you could give them tonight, if you want, is that, because we will accept it.
Okay.
Make a motion.
So at least they feel they got something through.
They got clarity, which is what they needed. Generally, we can give them that indication, but when the lead agency indicates an intent to be lead agency, because it has to circulate it, within that 30 days, we have to then let the Board of Trustees know that we have no objection. But if we want to, between ourselves right now, determine that we'll have no objection to them
being
lead agency,
let's do that right now, so at least they're walking out with something.
So when we get the notice, I can send out
you'll get a notice on the 27th. If they come in front of our board by the 26th, we have on June 26th, we have a board meeting. If they come in front of our board, we don't have deadlines of when the application has to be brought in.
Make a motion.
I will try to do this motion the right way. I make a motion that the planning board defer SECR for the Viola Wooder Tower project to the Board of Trustees.
As the lead agency.
As the lead agency.
Second. When we receive a notification.
When we receive notification. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There we go.
Who seconded it?
Donna.
Okay, so for clarity, when we do get that notice of intent for lead agency from the Board of Trustees, I will write a memo indicating that this board is already active and they have no objection to that.
Anything else?
Motion to close the meeting.
I second. There you go.
Okay.
Aye, all in favor.
Aye.
All right.
Motion carried. Meeting is adjourned.
You did a great job.
You made it.
Is that the first time?